Shalom Aleichem. Today we'll, Amir Tashem, talk about some halachas as it relates to karpas at the Seder, and also we'll talk a little bit about Magid. But before the halachas, we'll talk Dvar Torah. Dvar Torah that can be given at the Seder, and also it's in a little bit in Yana Diyoma, what we're seeing going on in the world today. We're going to talk about the Rasha, the four sons, and one of them, the Rasha Mahu Omer. What does the Rasha say? He says as follows, Ma avodah zos lachem. What is all this avoda, all this work, all these mitzvahs that you are doing lachem? And the famous question is as follows, what's the difference between what the Chacham says and what the Rasha says? On the one hand, the Chacham says very similarly, Ma'idos, Asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem, what are all these things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded you, eschem, you, not me, apparently. And on the other hand, or similarly actually, the Rasha says, Mahavoda zos lachem, what is all this avoda for you? So the Rasha says lachem, the Chacham says eschem. Seems to be the same language, very similar language. So what's the big distinction between them that makes one of them a Chacham and one of them a Rasha? So the Vilna Gaon, he rivals a Pasuk in Koheles. It's Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, to explain the difference, a fundamental difference between the Rasha and the Chacham as follows. The Pasuk says, V'ra'isi ani, I see sheyesh yisron l'chochma min asichlus. I see there is a benefit, an advantage to Chachma over sichlus, over foolishness. So we'll say in a little bit, over evil. Ki yisrona or min achoshek. And it's similar to the benefit or the advantage that light has over darkness. So the Gra leverages this pasuk as follows. We see that there's a parallel, that the benefit, the advantage of the Chacham over the Rasha is similar to the advantage of light over darkness. So it goes like this. If we look at back to Briyas Olam, creation, when it came to the creation of light, the name of God is referenced as follows, Vayikra Elokim Leor Yom. Elokim, God, created the or, the light of the day. But on the other hand, in contrast, when it came to creation of darkness, night, Choshech, it says without reference to the name Elokim, it doesn't say God created, it simply says Lechoshech Kara Laila, and tonight it was called night. But it doesn't say explicitly that it was God who called out night. So we see there that the difference between light or and darkness is that when it came to the creation of light, Vayikra Elokim, we see the name of God. On the other hand, when it came to darkness, it doesn't say the name of God. And similarly, that's the distinction between a Chacham on the one hand and a Rasha on the other. It's the distinction is not that one says Eschem and one says Lachem, but rather in the language of the Chacham, it says Hasher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem, our God. The Chacham references a Kadosh Baruch Hu, whereas the Rasha does not. He simply says Mahavo. What are you wasting your time? But there's no reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu, just like nighttime. That's the beautiful explanation of the Gra. What's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? It's the same difference based on the Pasuk in Koheles between light and dark. Light references, it says God created light, but it doesn't say explicitly God created darkness. Same thing, the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. The Chacham incorporates a Kadosh Baruch Hu into his life. He references that everything that we are doing, everything you are doing is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, all these mitzvahs, but the Rasha has no such reference. Critical in our lives to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fully involved, pulling the strings. It may be difficult to see sometimes. Oftentimes it may be difficult. We have Hester Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have to open up our eyes and see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating everything, especially the events going on in the Middle East right now, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top of things. We have a wonderful Borei Olam, and we have to bear in mind, as much as it's confusing to us as what is going on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much knows what he is doing. Let's move on to our Dvar Halacha, the Dvar Halacha, talking about karpas. That is the potato or the celery or the parsley, different minhagim as to what is eaten for the karpas. Then the first issue that we are going to grapple with is how much should be eaten, how much should be eaten. So the first opinion, there are two opinions, different minhagim on this. First opinion based on the Mishnah Berurah, who says as follows, that you take the karpas and it should be less than a kazayis, less than a kazayis, not a kazayis, not more than a kazayis, but less than a kazayis. Why? The rationale, because then we get into a suffix. Do we have to say a bracha acharon on this? We're not in the meal yet. We're saying the bracha, b'rei pri adama, and then we have the karpas, so do we have to say bracha acharona, b'rei nefashos, after having the vegetables? So to avoid the problem, eat less than a kazayis, and then for sure, we don't say a bracha acharona. And similarly, another halach in that regard, also don't eat a vegetable that is considered shalem, even if it's less than a kazayis, but if it's considered the entire vegetable. An example would be a tiny potato, but it's less than a kazayis, but still, because it's considered a birya, because it's an independent entire entity, we would be chayv to say a bracha achrona. So we have to avoid, based on this first shita, to eat less than a kazayis. You have to avoid eating a kazayis, has to be less than a kazayis, and also, even if less than a kazayis, avoid eating something that is a full vegetable. So that is the first approach. The second approach is that you should specifically eat of the karpas a minimum of a kazayis, because we are supposed to be eating the karpas, and the halachic definition of eating is it has to be at least a kazayis. If it's less than a kazayis, we have not eaten anything, we haven't halachically eaten anything, and accordingly, we have to specifically eat a kazayis or more. So those are the two conflicting opinions. There's no way to reconcile those. Either it has to be less than a kazayis or it has to be a kazayis or more. But even if we eat a kazayis or more, we would not say a bracha achrona. That's the halacha lemaisa based on the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. That is the first question as it relates to the karpa. Second question as it relates to the karpas, should we do heseba? Should we do the leaning to the left like we do for the arba kosos and the eating of the matzah and the eating of the afikomen? For eating of the karpas, should we do heseba? The avudraham and the kitzur shulchan aruch say that yesh lehasev, we should do heseba when eating the karpas. On the other hand, the implication, the language of the Torah and the shulchan aruch is that we do not do heseba for the karpas, and that was the minhag of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, to not do heseba for the karpas. And I think that's the minhag olam, at least what I've seen, is we do not do heseba for the karpas. An interesting halacha, one halacha we'll talk about magi today. If there is a grandfather and father together at the Seder, the question is, who should do the mitzvah of higadat alevincha? Can the grandfather do it on behalf of his son or son-in-law and be the one who is leading the Seder to teach about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, to talk about the events of the night that happened and in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the grandfather, can he be the one teaching, and does that fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of his son or son-in-law in Vihigadat Talavincha? So in fact, yes, the grandfather can do the mitzvah. In fact, the Hafla on Kiddushin says that for this mitzvah, and even more so, Vahodata Levanech Livnei Vanecha, teaching the children Har Sinai, it may even be, or it is preferable that the grandfather do the teaching, because the grandfather is closer to Har Sinai. So when he's teaching his grandchildren, grandsons, granddaughters, Ma'asher, so it could be even preferable that the grandfather be teaching, because he's closer to the Masorah, he's closer to the Kabbalah of Har Sinai, and accordingly we could say, we'd have an argument, the same thing would apply for the Seder, that the grandfather is closer to the Yetzias Mitzrayim, maybe it's preferable. But certainly he can fulfill the mitzvah on behalf of the son or son-in-law. But nonetheless, and this is based on a tshuva of Moshe Sternbach and the Betel HaChachmi as well, that the father should do at least a little bit at the Lel Haseda, because mitzvah bo yoser mibshulcho, it's bigger mitzvah to do it yourself rather than rely on somebody else to do the mitzvah for you. So although the father can rely on the grandfather of his children to do the mitzvah, and he keep him in the mitzvah of Yigadat Alevincha, but because of mitzvah bo yosem mitzvucho, he should at least do something. Actually, one last question, an interesting question. If only the mother is there running the Seder, but her husband is not there for whatever reason, then the mother would have the mitzvah of vihigadeta levincha in place of the father. So just like the father would have the mitzvah, she has the mother, kevan she chayeves kol mitzvah halayla, because she is also obligated in all of the mitzvahs halayla, so she would certainly fill that role and be mekayim the mitzvah of vihigadeta levincha. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.